from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
No, you're stupid. We're trying to develop a website. you know what that is? You know, trying to grow things. Mm-hmm. You seem weird to sort of like object to it. In a weird way, you are objecting to it. Mm-hmm. Don't you find?
Yeah, I find it.
It's almost like saying, "Oh well, you can't put any ads for yourself in a podcast." It's stupid.
You can talk about it, just don't change the name of the
podcast. No, the podcast has changed. It is the Good Atheist .net podcast because it's based on the Good Atheist. It's hosted by the Good Atheist .net, and we run the Good Atheist .net.
No, we are, you know, the site is the Good Atheist. Its domain, its URL is the Good Atheist .net. And basically, you are...
Yeah, but it's not like we're going to get .com anytime soon. Hmm? Like, we're never going to get .com. .com is fucking parked. It's one of those ridiculous sites. I don't even know how many people...
It's being squatted on.
It's being squatted. I don't even know how many people looking for The Good Atheist went to thegoodatheist.com and all of a sudden thought, wow, they have a really weird podcast for a parked site.
Well, you got
to... So that's why you have to brand it so that people understand. It's not thegoodatheist.org.biz.tv because those exist too. There's goodatheist.blogspot.com. We are .net, bitch. We're .net.
It's a sad state of affairs. You should have picked a more original name.
Oh, excuse me. The only other one that I had was Unchurch, but I tried that way back. This is an old story. I was looking for a name. Tried Unchurch, and it was actually taken by a bunch of religious conservatives who were using it to reconvert people to Christianity. So unfortunately, I was not able to get that. GoodAtheist.net was pretty much the best one I could come up with at the time. You'd be surprised how many people park on atheist sites, or how many Christians buy atheist sites. That's something you don't know.
I don't.
They go out and they eat them up. They eat them up, and then all of a sudden they fill it with like the same web pages saying like atheists are going to hell. It is quite amusing.
We're going somewhere that doesn't exist. That's quaint. Now I know you got your whole show planned out, but I wanted to throw something in there just a bit of a curveball. This is something that I've been thinking about for a while.
Sure.
I've got a friend who's
friend of a friend. Eh?
No, I've got a friend who has some drinking problems. It's not me because I quit drinking effectively.
That's true.
So,
okay, I believe it's not you. I live with you, so I know it's not you. Let's go for it. What's the question?
Well, he's having drinking problems, right? His marriage is in trouble and this and that over it, and he's trying to find a way to quit. So he goes to Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Alcoholics Anonymous is a hardcore, basically religious organization.
Yeah.
And so now I'm kind of left on the sidelines, and I'm saying, well, what the hell do I recommend to him now? Because I'm like, you need some help. Go to Alcoholics Anonymous, and he's like, I hate God, and
so what do I do?
Because I can't stand going there, because it's one of those steps. It's like snuck in there. It's like, it's between all the good advice. It's like, do this and do that, and work towards yourself, and by the way, believe in the power of Christ or you'll fail. It's like, whoa.
It's actually more than that.
Oh, it's way more.
Here's what people don't really understand. If you've never had a drinking problem or a narcotic problem or anything else like that, you're probably unaware of just how cultish the whole Alcoholics Anonymous or whatever Anonymous is.
And it's kind of creepy when you think about it, because these are people that are basically... That you're hitting people at their lowest.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Desperate fucking people. I mean, it's a bad scene. I think it's despicable, personally.
You know where it sort of like stems from? It was like in the 1930s when alcohol was illegal. There were obviously people had like even worse drinking problems than they do now. Mm-hmm. Specifically, when something that you do,
life sucked.
Well, it's not just the fact that life sucks. It's that whenever something is illegal, why would you seek help for when you're just going to go to jail if you admit that you're using? It's like turning a victim into a criminal. He can't talk about it. It's like another example: prostitution. Right? They can't complain when their pimp beeps them or beats them. It's like, oh, my pimp beats me. You're a prostitute. You're under arrest.
Yeah.
You know, so anyways, they came up with this, you know, these two evangelicals, reformed drunks, mm-hmm. Who had been friends and who helped coach each other out of their addiction, decided that they were going to start this group, and that this group was going to be centered around the idea that they surrendered themselves to God, therefore that must be the best way to quit drinking. Mm-hmm. The fucked up thing is that in the States, there are Alcohol Anonymous programs that you can be forced to attend. This is government-mandated religion, in a sense. Mm-hmm. They make you go. And if you don't go, you can't get your license back or whatever other freaking conditions they put on. Now, here's the thing. The statistics that come out of Alcoholics Anonymous as to how many people that go in there come out cured, you can't find these statistics. You cannot. They don't make them available. They don't release them. And the reason is because in one leaked document, I think the document was from the 1990s, it showed that after about 6 months to a year, the amount of the success rate had fallen to about 5%. That sounds low. That's the same exact percentage of people who stop on their own. Okay? The honest truth is that if you're going to stop, that is your decision. Now, you may have an easier time if you have like people to talk to or friends that support you.
Yeah, I'm not going to believe that it doesn't make it easier.
Right, but the thing is, when what people don't understand, and this is what is one of the big failings of Alcoholics Anonymous, is that over there, it's almost like you have to sort of like surrender yourself. Mm-hmm. And this is a bad thing, because even alcoholism, they treat it as a disease, but it is a choice. It's still an addiction, just the same way that doing heroin is still a choice. No one is putting a gun to your head. But there, obviously, the factors that make it a choice are obviously, what's what we're looking for here? It's not 100% your choice, right? There's still, you know, there's something's got a hold on you, and yeah. I'll admit that. But the thing is, people who go in there are made to feel worse, pathetic, powerless, and these aren't good things. Mm-hmm. Like, the support network makes sense. But that's the only thing that makes sense, and that's barely the base of fucking Alcoholics Anonymous. So to your friend, what I would suggest is there actually are other organizations out there for alcoholics who don't like that whole formula, but who can still find kind of support in that community aspect. Mm-hmm. They exist. They're out there, man. They are out there. He just has to fucking look. Forget about it. Alcoholics Anonymous, it will ruin your life. It will fucking ruin your life.
And if anybody has any advice on different organizations out there, if you want to pop onto thegoodatheist.net.
Yeah, I don't know why. If you're gonna keep firing, if you're gonna keep giving me a hard time, I'm gonna find a new call.
You know, how about this? Why don't you just let me finish what I'm saying?
Okay.
Go on to the site, goodatheist.net.
There you go.
.net. .com.
Not .com. No.
And,
don't go to that one.
And go into the comments section and please leave some information in the comments section. And even if it's not for Canada or wherever this region is, you gotta leave it in there just in case, because other people want to know too.
You know, it's not just that; it's the fact that also sometimes support doesn't have to come from people that are physically at the same location. Fuck, man, with the internet, instant messaging, that kind of stuff. Fuck, you can talk to anybody all over the world. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just need to talk to someone. It doesn't even matter if it's like an MSN conversation.
Jake is, I swear to God, he's gonna end up as a self-help guru down the road, because he has many people that he counsels over the net.
It's a service I offer for free.
Okay, that was
your little. Okay, all right, that was a cool little story. That was a cool little story in terms of.
I was just curious as to what your thoughts were on it, because as I said, talking to him about it, I'm feeling pretty helpless, because I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to say now? I can understand, like, if the whole key thing about Alcoholics Anonymous is giving in to God, it's like, if you don't believe in God, what the hell does that leave you with?
Not much. But you know what's interesting? There are drugs available out there that literally, if you drink alcohol, it will make you physically sick.
Yeah,
they actually use that in therapy, but interestingly enough, Alcoholics Anonymous actually doesn't approve of those, because they feel as though it should be a religious and spiritual disease rather than a physical addiction.
You're going to think this is really gay, and not to use gay in the bad word, but I just did. but I watched an episode of Private Practice. It's a spinoff of Grey's Anatomy, where the grandmother is putting those pills into her son's food to make him sick whenever he drinks, and they think he has a crazy medical problem. It was an interesting episode.
That almost sounds like a bad spinoff of House, not Grey's Anatomy. Like, discover what's wrong with this boy.
Well, you know, it's all doctor shows. Anyways, I thought it should
medical
that.
Mystery shows. That's the whole theme.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, today what we're going to talk about, this is a new feature. Obviously, it's to pump the site, get you peeps to go check it out.
To go check out what?
GoodAtheist.net.
Oh, TheGoodAtheist.net.
Ah, you see? I got you going. I was testing you. I was testing you.
Sure.
Okay, the feature is every week we're going to talk about the most popular article, the article that people commented on the most or that got the most attention. Mm-hmm. This week's is about the Madonna Church of Orgasm. Basically, these are people that covet orgasms. They believe that orgasm is a literally feeling God. God mm-hmm. making his presence known through, you know, the pleasure center.
Tell these
orgasm.
People to stay away from ecstasy because they will change it from the, what is it, the Madonna what of orgasm?
It's the Madonna Church, the Madonna of Orgasm Church. That's
okay, they will change it to the Madonna of Ecstasy Church, the Madonna of Raver Church, don't.
It's funny, there are ceremonies that, you would think that a church like that would be full of, like, orgies or whatever, right? I mean, seriously. But they usually just drink, fruit juice and just eat delicious fruit, and they use that as an allegory for orgasm. But I'm like, you guys are quaint. You guys you guys could really kick it up a notch.
You guys got to come up to Quebec where the Raelians hang out and check out some of that.
There's an orgasm cult.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit sad that this became the most popular thing on the site, but it's not.
It's always the wacky stuff,
and it's always, anytime you mention anything about sex or orgasms, everybody just goes ape shit. I mean, that is the internet for you.
Here's the deal. If you started a feature on the site where you were like, okay, sexy atheist chicks, send me your photos, every single week would be like, time to talk about the most popular thing on the site, the sexy atheist chick picture of the week.
You know what? I am never going to do that. Hmm? I have that much integrity.
I will shill for
the good atheist like you would not believe, but I will not put a hot atheist chick of the week. That just seems just like you don't get it.
I like it.
Well, we'll let people speak.
To tempt the faithful over to the dark side, we will use their
breasts
and bosoms.
Bosoms.
Yes.
You are truly evil. I like it. You have that evil streak in you. I'm just more pragmatic. I'm like, I can convince people intellectually, and Ryan's like, fuck it. We need to show titties.
TNA is the way. TNA is the secret.
You know what? Those old paintings with the Madonnas and stuff like that, people were always naked and those old paintings, right? Mm-hmm. And that was just being like, yeah, that was like porn. It's like, look at these titties. Yeah, believe in our religion. Yeah,
but they were kind of dumpy.
They were just fat back then. That was cool.
Back in the day, they're like, wow, you're fat? That's beautiful.
Well, they were like, you're fat. That means that you're not a starving peasant. Yay. I mean, you got the people that were slightly overweight, and you probably had everybody look like skeletons. You think a skeleton is sexy? No, you probably want a little bit more meat.
According to the fashion industry, it is.
Well, you know, we kind of, that's a weird... That's a first probably in human history where
indeed.
Dilapidated is the new fat.
It's only getting worse and worse, man.
It is getting worse. Okay, the one thing I wanted to talk about, this is a link that I received from one of the fans of the site.
Who?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to mention names, but not everybody wants to be named. This person sent me as a private email.
Okay, I'll stop busting your chops.
This is actually a website about eco-terrorism. Now, one of the big...
Wait, are we done talking about the Madonna of Orgasm?
Oh, yeah, it was just a short thing, just to tell people that it was the most popular thing. I mean, do you want to talk about it more? It is a rather silly bit. Mm-hmm. If it was an article that had been, really well written, mm-hmm. I probably would have gone into more of a rant. But this is literally a church trying to gain credibility for believing in orgasms as a way of reaching God. There's only so much you can say. Mm-hmm. The fucking thing was like two paragraphs long, barely, and I was pushing it.
Yeah.
Whatever, right. Give meat to the fucking masses, right?
Okay. Fine.
Okay, the one thing I did want to talk about was eco-terrorism. This is a new kind of...
conservative talking point.
It really is. It's the new talking point of conservatives right now, and it's becoming more and more popular. I'm seeing it all over the place. And there was one particularly not alarming site, but very clever site that dealt with it. And it was a quote from Michael Crichton. Well, it's not a quote. It's actually a long article.
Yeah, it's an essay.
It's really quite long. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be posting up the link on the site if anybody wants to go read it. Basically, you read a couple of lines of it, I'm guessing.
I read about half of it before I was like, this just keeps going on and on. Right? I already saw where he was going with it and basically what he was presenting, and he was just kind of hammering home. Yeah, I read enough of it to get the gist.
Okay, I want to hear...
As the lazy half-ass of the show, I decided that 50% was probably, if I did any more, then... I might...
Having read 100%, I don't think you missed much from just the 50%, but I want to hear your thoughts. Number one, you told me that when you were reading, you said, well, he does have some points. So I want to hear your thoughts on some of those points.
Well, he's basically... His whole idea is saying that religion will always exist in one form or another. And since we live in a secular society, it's being replaced. Religion... People who are atheists are replacing the traditional concepts of religion with new concepts of religion, basically saying, okay, well, now environmentalism is my God and is my religion, and this is what I'm going to follow. And that's basically his argument. And he's saying that just like, I don't know actually if he was making this argument, this was my funny conclusion. It's like, what, like just like crazy religious fundamentalists go overboard with their opinions and views, environmentalists are doing the same because it's a religious thing and that's the religious connection?
Well, you have to remember that this article came out shortly after he published one of his books, and the plot of the book was that environmental eco-terrorists were using global warming as a way of gaining power of, like, you know, take over the world.
With dinosaurs. If you included dinosaurs, it would have been way better.
That probably would have been better.
I was thinking, actually, I saw that book when it came out. I was actually thinking of picking it up when I was at an airport one time. Because you know, like, how it is. You pick up a book at an airport, you don't know the author, and, like, 5 pages or 10 minutes on the plane, you're like, oh, God. I picked a bad book.
So, are those airport bookstores or, you know, usually a repository of some of the worst literature known to man?
Yeah, lots of really shiny covers and everything. But yeah, I looked at it, I was like, this looks retarded.
It was funny because a lot of people who read it kind of began thinking that maybe, well, this whole global warming thing really doesn't exist. Like, he does a really good job at trying to take all of the talking points and dissecting and just literally try to erase all of the scientific data and saying, well, all of these guys really are still trying to draw conclusions. And the honest truth is we don't know. Like, he cites in one part of his book that the poles are actually getting colder. And he was saying, well, see, they're not measuring temperatures right. He was also saying that they're measuring temperatures in cities, and cities keep getting hotter, and therefore it's throwing all the data off. Mm-hmm. And there's actually an interesting thing about that. Basically, there were two sets of data that were gathered over the span of about 20 years. One of them was satellite data that was measuring temperatures. Mm-hmm. And the other one was just basic, very simple temperature meter things. Like the stuff you see all over the place.
Like the sock and barometer at the airport.
Exactly, exactly. So there were two sets of data. And what happened was that when the set of data were compiled, it seemed as though there was no global warming coming from the satellite data. But there was a definite warming trend coming from all of the other temperature gauges that were on land. Mm-hmm. So the debate raged, saying, like, which one is right, which one is wrong, and it looked as though maybe with the whole cities getting warmer thing, it might have been the ground ones. So that was something that was considered, but it turns out that the debate was silenced when they found out that there was an error in the calculation of the satellites. See, mm-hmm. It turns out that the satellite's orbit had decayed slightly. And it was measuring, like, it was supposed to take measurements at the peak hours of the day. Mm-hmm. But it kept on going back and back. So it would, like, the temperatures that it registered were earlier and earlier during the day. Mm-hmm. And that minute change made it so that it didn't look as though there were temperature differences because the time of the temperatures were different.
Yeah.
So it turns out that it was the satellite data that wasn't correct. Once the compensations was made, it showed that the same trend occurred in to the ground ones. Mm-hmm. So the accusation that, you know, hotter cities was throwing off the temperature counts was completely and utter bullshit. Mm-hmm. And it was proven to be bullshit back in the 1990s, but Michael Crichton liked to bring it back up. And it's the whole entire book, all his arguments are exactly the same. Things that had been debated in the 90s or even early 2000s, which have now been pretty much resolved. But he keeps doubt open by mentioning those. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but he actually won an award from, like, a bunch of oil industries or something like that for his book. Yeah. And it was so transparent. I'm like, why are you guys even making an award, a book award? Exxon Book Award? I'm like, yeah, of course you're going to give it to Michael Crichton, who creates, like, controversy about environmentalism. Congratulations.
I seem to remember it being a very thin veneer. I don't remember if it was specifically Exxon, but it was, like, it was the flimsiest of fronts. The flimsiest.
It was quite flimsy. Now, here are some of the things that Michael Crichton does mention in the article that are technically correct. Like, for instance, he says, he makes the argument... Oh, what were you going to say?
I was going to say he makes the argument... My key overall thing is he makes the argument that environmentalists are idiots and they're crazy.
I would actually say he makes the claim that they're not idiots, but that they're all fundamentalists. Mm-hmm. That not one of them has done any scientific data, and apparently Michael Crichton knows better than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he says is, he says population size, mm-hmm. right? He tries to create doubt about our ability to plan things ahead or see ahead by saying, well, in 1980, they said that the population should be 10 billion by now, and it's not. Mm-hmm. So he says, why are we wrong about that? Obviously, we don't have all the facts. Mm-hmm. Now, there is actually an explanation as to why the population isn't 10 billion. Do you want to know what it is?
It has something to do with, I don't know. You tell me.
It has to do with the fact that the calculations were erroneous because people underestimated the amount of deaths happening. It's not the births, it's the deaths. With droughts, epidemics like AIDS.
Gigantic waves of water coming from the ocean like magic.
Or yeah, exactly. Or other natural disasters and stuff like that. Wiping out crops, killing people. More, you know, in terms of natural disasters, more concentrated populations when an earthquake happens causes more deaths.
Basically, Mother Nature trying to shrug us off her back.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's actually slowed down. It's not that the birth rate has gone down. It's that death rates have gone up. Mm-hmm. You know, and AIDS is one of the bigger causes of it. For AIDS, for instance, it's not even the fact that people are dying of AIDS. It's that farmers can't farm because they're dying. They can't raise their kids who are dying. I mean, it's just like you couldn't have planned that. You couldn't have thought ahead and say, well, what happens if all of Africa has AIDS? Mm-hmm. It just wasn't part of the equation.
Yeah.
So obviously, yeah, there's going to be things that you're wrong about. But what Michael Crichton fails to realize is that's exactly why the environment is so scary. Because there are variables that you can't explain. And usually, it's not on the side of awesomeness. It's on the side of all goddedness. Yeah. You know what I mean?
When's that thing where because of all the coal that we're releasing into the atmosphere, the entire planet will turn into a tropical paradise and we never have to worry? I'll farm some fucking bananas up here in Canada. You can open an orange farm. Don't compete with me or I'll stab you in the neck.
Actually, if there was that temperature, I'd probably just grow coca leaves and make cocaine.
That's
it's more lucrative.
That's being a good atheist right there.
Well, whatever. I need to get paid, yo. Mm-hmm. Anyways, The thing is, and Michael Crichton's always been good at this, where he'll take something that sounds logical and he'll say, well, environmental hysteria is so strong that it's clouding the issue. Mm-hmm. And I won't deny that there is some hysteria to be, you know, had in this whole thing. But that's not the point of the debate. The point of the debate is he's trying to undermine the scientific value of the findings. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to... And most of the scientific evaluations are still pretty sketchy about what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. They don't know. I mean, you could have a few degree changes, no big deal. Or you could have like a new ice age, or you could have like unlivable conditions. We don't know. We really don't know. It's a complicated system. But why you gotta fuck with it?
Why, when that tipping point happens and bad stuff starts to go down, it's like we aren't going to be able to fix these issues.
We don't have any. We can't look back in the history of the Earth because there has never been as high a concentration as carbon dioxide in the atmosphere in the history of the Earth. Mm. It's never happened, mm-hmm. At least as far back as we can tell. We have models that we could predict temperatures, but it's literally spiked like two or three times what it's been at its peak. Mm-hmm. So a person could say, well, you know, ignore that and it doesn't matter and it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. You would look at this person and be like, you're a moron. And to go around, you know, accusing people that care about the environment or are worried about the consequences as religious fundamentalists is pretty fucking low.
Well, you got to understand that there are a lot of... this is where I say that he has a certain reason to his words and that he's saying that environmentalism is practically a religion to some people. And I want to say this, and I want to bring it back, and I don't bring it back all the time, but John Safran, again, where he says, you're too dumb to be an atheist. You don't you don't understand enough about the way the world works to be an atheist and be like, I'm an atheist, and be any more firm in your belief that nothing is out there. It's faith just as much to you as it is to these other people, because you haven't done the legwork and the research to really understand the science behind why God isn't possible. And to that same degree, it's like, you're too dumb to be an environmentalist. You don't understand enough about everything to be able to say for sure what's going to happen or what's going on. I completely agree with you on the point of, obviously, we shouldn't be messing around with the environment, because if something does go wrong, it's game over. But look at these people, environmentalists, that are just getting more and more extreme. Like, I'm not sure if I mentioned this story. I think I've talked to you about it before, but not on the radio. But I apologize if it's a rerun, guys. Crocodiles, alligators, right. down in Florida. Don't know if it's crocodiles or alligators. I think it's alligators.
Actually, yeah, I think it's alligators,
but,
too.
But forgive me if I get it wrong. I don't care that much about which one's which.
One has a longer snout.
Congratulations. If you do work in that area and know more than I do, well, that is your life. Congratulations. But there's hunting licenses that go out for people to go out and
hunt
the number of and hunt them. Because if you don't hunt them, the population will explode and it will get bad. And there are environmentalists that go and apply for hunting licenses just to fill up the hunting license docket so that hunters aren't going to be going out and killing these alligators. And what happens then is that there's a bunch more alligators around and these alligators start eating people. they literally start eating people. This is what the forest rangers, I don't know, the freaking swamp rangers are talking about. They're like, there is a serious problem here because there are more and more alligators, less and less food, and when some stupid teenager jumps in the water, they are dead. They get their leg bitten off and that is it. So there you go. There's an example of an environmentalist thinking they're doing a good thing for the environment when they're just fucking shit up.
Well, you know, I had a point that I wanted to write in the book, but I wasn't sure if it would actually fit. And here's what I was trying to say. That basically, the only way that I could see that environmentalism as a religion, or just as a belief rather than sort of like a something based on evidence, mm-hmm. is the fact that people have like this reverence for nature. They're mm-hmm. like, well, nature is so great, and you know, we need to get back to this natural way. And you know, even David Suzuki, which is a popular environmentalist here in Canada, he often sort of like, you know, goes around pretty much sucking the dick of every fucking Native American, saying like, oh, these guys really had it figured out and then they were awesome. And really, when you look at the facts, it's not true at all. You know, you cannot move back. You can't go back and say, well, let's live in teepees and all this other kind of shit, right? You just can't. We live in an environment that is artificial. The creatures that we eat, the plants that we eat, all of these have been selected over time by us. The fact is that we have terraformed much of the planet for our needs. But there's still pockets out there that are really, really wild. The natural world interferes sometimes with the artificial world. So a situation where alligators go nuts is where the natural world suddenly enters in an artificial environment. And for them, it's paradise. Of course it is. All this food, we're easy to eat. We barely run fast.
We can't swim for crap.
We can't do shit. I mean, if I took you out to the woods, stripped you naked, and gave you a little stick, and then you knew there were tons of fucking bears out there, you'd be dead. It doesn't matter how big your brain is. We survive because we work in teams and we develop technology and we have an artificial environment.
And we stay the hell out of
nature. We stay in our own zone. We stay the hell out of nature.
You see those Discovery guys that go out and try and live off the land, and half the time they need to be rescued. They need to be helicoptered out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the odds are with these guys, 1 out of 3 times, he's got to be helicoptered out. And this is a professional. This is what a guy does for his living, and he still can't survive out in the wild. So, you know, whenever you're starting to wonder, you know, should we go back to nature? The answer is obviously not the way that nature, not the way that laws of nature are. We want to bypass these laws, okay? But the thing is, the way that human beings live their life is still an experiment. We don't know if we can live in an artificial environment and have it be stable. Right now, we're leaning on the no side. We're fucking up this experiment because we figure we have this hubris saying that we can do whatever the hell we want. There are rules to the game. The atmosphere has a particular set of rules. You break these rules and you're going to get fucked. And if you ever wonder why, I mean, consider, again, I've talked about this with you to death, and you're probably mm-hmm. sick and tired of hearing it, but I keep mentioning the fact that the atmosphere is the most fragile thing on this planet. I mean, the things that it's the only thing that prevents you from being in outer space, basically. And if you're going to walk straight up, all right, at your walking speed, if you could walk straight up in the atmosphere, in about an hour, you'd be out of breathable air. That's at walking speed. In 3 hours, you'd be out of the troposphere and you'd be into the stratosphere, where the atmosphere is very thin and you would look like you're in outer space. That's like 4 hours. In half a day, a human being can completely walk out of the atmosphere into the exosphere, which is essentially outer space.
This is how small it is.
So if you ever wonder, oh, gee, you know, it's really big, I couldn't possibly affect it, like, the hell you can't. The hell you can't. And my message is, anybody who thinks that it's sort of like, you know, there are extremists, you're not wrong. But you have to look at the fact that, you know, is every person who's religious an extremist? No, they mean everybody takes a moderate view, just like we take a moderate view of environmentalism. And it's not a religion because it's not based on dogma. It's not like I will instantly believe anybody, any claim by an environmentalist. Hell, I get nothing but Greenpeace people coming over and saying, oh, we got to stop using genetically modified crops. My first question is, why? Why should I stop doing that? If Green Revolution can feed everybody on the planet, why should I stop? And if they can't answer that question, I'm like, that's dogma. You guys haven't thought this through. Get the fuck out of my sight. You know what I mean? We can still be skeptical about environmental claims and ask for data, because data is being produced. It's being produced. Unlike religions, which there is no new data. The new data is a pope going like, I just decreed that you cannot wear a condom. Ta-da! That ain't data. That's not something I can, you know, verify. But, I mean, Michael Crichton obviously doesn't really understand, other than the sort of like the science fiction properties of science, what it really means. He's like, for him, it was just an interesting story. But there's more to it than that. And you know what's funny? As I say that, I can see a Michael Crichton book right in our library.
Yeah, it's Jurassic Park.
It is Jurassic Park.
It's a great book.
It is a good book.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to discredit him as an author, but, you know.
Well, here's the whole deal. I mean, an author's whole point is to, or a whole ability or purpose is to paint a picture from a point of view that is unique or specific, that's driving towards a specific goal. I mean, if you write something up and you're a good author, you can basically convince somebody of whatever you want to think of, unless they go a step further and kind of research everything you're saying. Michael Crichton is kind of throwing out so much crap.
He waits to see what sticks, right?
Well, he throws out all this stuff, and in order for you to basically be able to say you're wrong, you'd have to be pretty high up there on the educational level. And the truth of the matter is, for the people he's writing this book for, are they really going to be the kind of people that are going to look into whether or not his claims are true or not? Probably not.
That's the funny. That's the funny thing about environmentalism, or. Like, at least the one that I've been talking about, doing the research, being skeptical, and it does require a lot of work. You know, you really do have to know your shit. You have to read about it all the time, because data does change. I mean, it is science, mm-hmm. right? They're always correcting themselves.
And who do we have? Do we have a Michael Crichton on our side that said, we have Al Gore. And no one trusts Al Gore.
He lost the presidency, for God's sakes. And he didn't even lose it.
Yep.
He couldn't even hold on to that.
He was such a lame-o McLamerson that he got beaten out by George Idiot Bush. And now look where we're at now. Great.
They're really, you know, spokespeople for environmentalism. They're not many. There are not many. And there are not many that are credible, or people that I would say, hey, I can trust their information. But I trust that they're doing the research.
But you know what the environmentalists do have?
What?
They do have hot environmentalist babe of the week. They do. I swear to God. And it's hot.
See, that's
nice.
You know, that's where they devolved.
Yep.
And I don't want to devolve that way. Mm. Now, there's one last thing that I want to talk about before we end the show.
Okay.
Because I promised that we're going to talk about this, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. It's not going to be long.
I'm the star.
You are the star. Okay, I want to hear your thoughts on the war on Christmas. I mean, tell me what you think that means, that word.
I think that people who bitch about the quote-unquote war on Christmas need to get over themselves. They're the same kind of people who get upset over the fact that Latino pride is allowed, but white pride is not. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you? Do you not realize that you own everything? It's like everything around you is a representation of white pride and white culture and white society. When you have to have the Black Entertainment Channel to balance out to even the tiniest degree, you know, you're not going to see many Black people on television unless they are the token Black guy on a sitcom, or they are on the black dude
that gets killed at during a horror movie,
or it's the freaking gangsters on The Wire. It's like, goddamn, that's why these people need to be allowed to. And it's the same thing where it's like, oh no, these stores are trying to be inclusive of other religions. Stop them.
Our religious dominance is waning.
Yeah.
And you know what? I feel the same way. That basically, it's really funny when every Christian goes over and starts saying like, well, maybe the war on Christmas. And you guys have never really seen what a war on a particular ideology is, eh? How about a war on homosexuality, you fucking assholes?
Well, look at this. Let's look at this as the perfect example. They think there's a war on Christmas right now. What about back in the day when Christmas wasn't Christmas? It was a pagan holiday. And then the Christians came along and they declared a war on whatever Christmas was
called. War on paganism.
The war on paganism, and they destroyed, they annihilated, they, uh, the, everything, and they put their own freaking holiday down on the holiest of holy days. So they're like, ha, you're not celebrating Hanukkah. You're celebrating Christmas,
bitch.
That's
not just that. It was like, you cannot celebrate winter solstice. And that's what everybody used to celebrate, right? The longest day of the year, and you'd celebrate right after, because after that it meant that the days were going to get longer again, that you were past that point. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense to have, like, you know, when you live in northern societies like us, you'd need a goddamn day to party. Mm-hmm. Like when you're saying, all right, the longest day is over, would you not party? Yeah, yeah, I think I'd party, especially if that meant that I could probably eat soon and I'd have to stop eating, like, I don't know, dried horse shit or mm-hmm. whatever the hell they back then.
Yeah, I have no idea how people survive freaking winter. The fact that Native Americans, like you say, the Native Americans screwed up a lot of stuff. I'm like, the fact that they managed to survive in Canada outside.
Oh no, I meant I didn't mean screw up as in like didn't I know, able to survive.
I'm just saying, just like on top of that, I'm like, props to you people, you're hardcore.
Oh, they are so hardcore. I mean, we couldn't even deal with that shit now. We are so soft. We are so soft. You know when you hear your grandfather saying, like, I walked 800 miles in the snow, he's probably not lying. I mean, it was back in the old days, shit was fucked up.
Yeah.
It was, and nowadays you're like, oh, I just have to wait 10 minutes for my bus. I'm like, nobody used to wait 10 minutes for your bus. You usually not have a bus.
People banging on the metro being like, no, I have to wait 3 minutes.
I know. It's as soon as you make something easy for a person, when it starts getting a little bit hard, we do nothing but complain.
Well, why do you think that society has an upswing in all these anxieties and stuff like that? And not just general anxieties, but the actual number of people have anxiety disorders.
You know, actually, I'll tell you what, on the side note, my argument as to why this exists is because when you are not concentrated on, hey, how, what am I going to do for my next meal and that kind of stuff, you know, the daily grind, when you can escape that, sometimes people kind of like put themselves in mental loops trying to find, like, oh, what is the meaning of life, what do I do with my life, am I doing the right thing, and they basically drive themselves insane. You know, let me lay it down to you, there is no inherent meaning to life. So if you try to go and drive yourself insane looking for it, you may become insane or need to be medicated.
Just
relax.
With those guys who tried to think too much about
infinity. Yeah, exactly. They went nuts. I'm saying, why don't you just relax, enjoy what you have now, because it's pretty sweet. I mean, think about how hard it is to be just, I don't know, a deer out in nature when a goddamn wolf is going to chew you down while you're still alive. That sucks. You have avoided that. Our world is so artificial, you can avoid that. So I'd say we gotta just stop being such pussies. I mean, it's the same thing with these War on Christmas guys. They're such whiny bitches.
Well, here's the deal. Going back, I mean, that was my general thought, but as far as like in practice, here's what I think. People should be allowed to put up whatever the hell they want in their stores or do whatever and say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays or whatever else. As soon as it hits government level, you shouldn't have any of that crap anywhere around anywhere.
No, you can't mandate political correctness. I mean, if a person wants to say, like, I'm going to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and that's it, I'm not going to wish them a Merry Holidays or anything else like that. Merry Holidays.
Well,
Happy Holidays or anything else like that. I'm like, it's your choice, but you're being a douche.
I mean, because you got to realize the level of crazy. Maybe they're thinking that this is going to be some kind of crazy. This is a step towards how it was in Russia, where back in the day it was like, you know,
Happy Communist Day.
Yeah, you couldn't celebrate it at all in this and that, and you had to wonder. It's like watching Hunt for Red October, where the captain's like, I dream of being able to drive a car around, will they let me do it? You got to understand that this is how strict and crazy things get, but that's not the society we live in. It's not going to go back to that level. And the only people that would do that, funny enough, it's like only a thief suspects a thief, only fundamentalists suspect that
everybody else wants the same
else
level of control.
He's going to strip control of you so far that it's like, now you can't even say the word Christmas because it's offensive.
That's a pretty damn good point. That's a pretty damn good point. There's no honor among thieves and no honor among religious people is what you're saying.
No.
I'm just joking with you. I put words in your mouth. That, you know what that was? That was punishment before.
You were just,
for giving me a hard time about trying to pimp this out.
You were just trying to one-up me on my totally awesome only a thief suspects a thief thing. And you failed.
Whatever. Most of it is 30 minutes of me being nothing but informative.
It's true. It's true, but you know what? If it wasn't for me, no one would listen. Because they'd just be like, blah, 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 blah. There's the blah, blah
show.
Well,
you know what's funny? I was listening to some of the other shows where it's only one person. And I got to admit, that is kind of a boring formula where it's just one dude and he's all alone just sharing his thoughts. I'm like, there is no policing these thoughts.
Who wants people yapping at you? We just yap at each other. We deflect it. And you get to sit back and kind of watch. I mean, we sit on the metro and we talk and people listen to us. I'm like, oh, that's entertainment for them.
their metro ride was boring. Now that's egotistical. I love it. All right, with that, let's wrap it up.